I just stopped. I was going to say something questionably still, Mike. But
God.
Hey, it's still Mike. Well, let's roll it. Who cares?
No. Starting over. 3, 2.
This is Mike.
And this is...
The Break-In.
Coverage!
Episode 51.
Season 4, episode 11.
Session 36.
This is the episode where we talk about Kickstarter.
It has to be now. Yeah. It has to be.
Way to go, Bruce.
Retroactively change the episode.
It has to be now. Oh, it's a Kickstarter. I hate Kickstarter. How many good people have we known who can't get a Kickstarter fulfilled?
A lot.
Yeah. How many pieces of shit have we seen? How many pieces of shit have we known?
Top Cow?
They can get a Kickstarter going no problem.
You mean like Rob Liefeld's Brigade book? Hey, you know what? The one thing I will absolutely give...
Zach Braff.
Huh?
Nothing. Yeah. Zach Braff is...
Yeah, he's got his own book out there too now. Did you know?
He's got a movie.
Oh, he really? Did. Yeah, but he's getting a studio to help.
Who there was a TV show? Veronica Mars mm-hmm. got there. So there's some stuff out there, you know, like that fans that are things. But like the one thing I'll give Rob Liefeld credit on with the Brigade book is that one, he's finally gone out of his way to say I'm committing myself to this book. So he's actually going to be the artist. Which
no, I don't.
Hold on, that's not. But that's not the thing. Depending on how much Kickstarter they keep getting up to, like. They're giving away X amount of thousands of copies of it free, too. Or something like that. Which, okay, cool.
That will just... I keep thinking that all those copies would have ended up in the quarter bins eventually. Now they can go straight to...
Yeah, exactly. Touché, salesman. Yeah. It's like, how's your Youngblood book with Mark Millar working out for you there, buddy? Remember that? Or, and then the Robert Kirkman one, and then...
Did the Joe Casey one ever finish?
It went like 12 issues, and then he kind of went over, and then he's like,
"Yeah,
hey, let's no do something cares. Else."
The Kickstarter thing upsets me because we know good people who have failed, and you've talked about kickstarting in the past. Mm-hmm. And I think Kickstarter's
too many people are doing
corrupted
it,
almost at this point.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like this big thing for independent people,
the great equalizer,
and now professional people are using it. To get their book published, to, I guess, get the price down on the book? I don't understand.
And so that the money goes straight to them?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Like, that's my problem with it. It's like, this. I mean, maybe Rob Liefeld needs money. It's hard to say what he does with his money a lot of times.
Well, no. Yeah, started. If either of you had read the interview with Paul Jenkins.
No.
I'm Bleeding Cool. And you said you hadn't. But there's a bit in there where he talks about, you know, equality from DC and Marvel. And it's a dark age for creators right now. And that's why he's gone Boom exclusive or whatever. He talks about this, and it all makes sense. You guys should read it. It's a well done interview, and he's a well spoken man. But down at the bottom, like the fifth or sixth comment, there's an artist who's done work for Boom, and he's like, "Well, it's great that Boom's treating you well, but what about people like me, who they're giving a shit page rate?" And no reprint royalties whatsoever.
Hmm. Who was it? Did you know?
No, I'd never heard of the person.
Okay.
But I clicked and he'd done some Adventure Time covers or whatever.
Okay.
But I don't understand what's going on right now in comics.
It's really weird.
Financially, I guess. Because you've got big names going to Kickstarter because apparently they don't want to get behind them and the publishers. And then you've got the publishers doing weird things, too.
Every one of them, too. Like, Image is super pumping out all their books, but DC and Marvel are canceling things left and right and rebooting things left and right, or, like, just for some reason, like, hey, let's do a new Captain America number one. It's only on volume 10 right now, so why not? You know, it's what year is it? 2013? At the end of 2013, let's do volume 11.
Well, even with Image, there have been some issues where people just aren't getting paid, so books have just stopped.
Like what?
What was it? Butcher Baker, Righteous Maker.
Oh, yeah, that did just stop, didn't it?
It just stopped. And the artist said, you know, it wasn't worth my time. I wasn't getting paid very well on it.
That was a Joe Casey book, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, and it was really good for like 6 or 7 pages. And then I continued to buy like up to issue 7, and it got worse and worse and worse.
So it's like, so now it seems like Image is like, oh, we're going to stay behind Saga and The Walking Dead and call it a day.
They've got their favorite children.
And Peter Panzerfaust has like kind of really blown up its sound.
Which is weird. I bought the first trade because I like Peter Pan.
It's an intriguing story.
It is.
I think it's kind of neat.
But I haven't ordered the second trade. I'm upset about the Discount Comic Book Service. I don't know. We'll change the subject here pretty quick.
We're going to talk. We're going to get there.
I ordered some books on 3/18, and I still haven't got them yet.
March?
Yeah. It says next shipment. I'm like, when's the next shipment?
You might want to email somebody. But...
speaking of super problems.
Super problems. There's a new movie that comes out soon, Justin. What movie we got coming out here soon?
That would be Man of Steel.
Which is...
I totally thought you were going to talk about Super Troopers 2.
No.
That would be awesome.
That was a weird segue there. Super still work for Man of Steel? Yeah, Super
Steel. Mm-hmm. So Man of Steel is... for those who don't know.
It's a movie starring Superman. Actually starring...
starring Superman.
They brought... It's the real Superman.
Henry Cavill as Zach Drake by
Zack Snyder. Is it Cavill?
Yeah, Cavill.
Cavill?
I thought it was Cavill.
That's how
it... Yeah, we'll look into it.
Cavill sounds like a villain.
Mm-hmm. Cruella de Vil?
Yeah, there you go.
Henry Cavill.
Hey, we gotta catch... Fine, that's Superman, for the... There's our title right there. The Cruella de Vil song. It just summoned some words. I'll do the same.
Who else is in it?
Lawrence Fishburne?
Yep.
As Perry White.
Oh, did you see the guy rumored to be Metallo? I can't say his name because he's Native American. Tamar Plickett?
Tom Hardy.
Tom Ray? The alien Green Lantern?
He played Paul Tommy in Boy? Dollhouse.
I didn't watch Dollhouse.
He was also in Battlestar Galactica. He was the guy who fell in love with the Asian Cylon.
I don't know. I haven't seen Battlestar Galactica.
I hate you. You and your... We're not allowed to talk about shit from 30 years ago. Logan's Run! His hand goes red when he reaches a certain age.
Jenny Gutter.
God damn it.
She was in the Avengers movie.
You suck it, old man.
And American Werewolf in London.
Yes.
By John Landis.
The good one, not the American
Werewolf in Paris.
Which is awful.
Yes. Starring the drummer from That Thing You Do.
Yes. Anyways.
Well, we're here to talk about some important, some, I don't know if it's important, but some interesting issues.
Because there's two big changes.
Two changes.
So when you have Lawrence Fishburne playing Perry White,
right,
who's always been white.
Right.
And also...
Lawrence Fishburne is not.
Yes. For anybody who hasn't watched the movie in the past 15 years, Lawrence Fishburne is indeed African-American.
Yes.
And
since Apocalypse Now.
What's that?
Since Apocalypse.
Yeah, exactly. Is that...
I mean, before that, I don't know what he was. But definitely after Apocalypse Now, he was African-American.
Okay, he might have been white during...
Maybe in the movie.
And then, I think the more startling change...
Right, that you didn't know about. Like, I didn't just a second ago.
Yeah, it's...
I wish I would have kept it fresh.
Yeah, but that's still quite a shock
right,
to me.
Right, is Jenny Olsen.
Not Jimmy Olsen.
No, Superman's gal, Jenny Olsen.
And who's it being played by?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can look it up, though.
And she's not redheaded.
Because the redhead goes to Amy Adams.
Didn't they kind of dye her hair?
They dyed it about as much as Daniel Craig dyed his hair.
Oh, I guess that's a good point. So just lighten it, yeah, gotcha.
And red.
So yeah, like, and so you have Zack Snyder directing it. You have Christopher Nolan producing it.
Right.
So Zack Snyder's obviously done a lot of high profile movies, and Christopher Nolan's done very high-profile movies and some very mind-bending movies, too. So it should be interesting to see how... When they first announced those two, first off, doing this movie, I'm like, that's an interesting combination. Because you have, like, some of the meticulousness that Christopher Nolan puts into his movies with big special effects that Zack Snyder likes to use. You know what I mean? So I thought that was an interesting combination, and now everything's kind of become an interesting combination. You have a British man playing Superman. You got, you know, like a black guy playing Perry White, a chick playing Jimmy Olsen, and a redhead playing Lois Lane. There's a lot of weird things going on in this movie. I'm still very eager to see the movie. I really want to see it because I think the trailers look good for it and everything. It's just kind of interesting. And I follow a guy on Twitter who posts on behalf of John Byrne, but not but is not John Byrne. Rebecca Bueller. Okay.
Yeah, or Bueller.
Bueller?
Bueller.
Bueller. The Twitter handle is John Byrne Says, and it's a guy who I think likes John Byrne art, but doesn't exactly agree with John Byrne, what his opinion is, I guess. And John Byrne had said something about the new Man of Steel that said that Lawrence Fishburne portraying a character that's white by portraying it as the same way as a white man portrayed is offensive to anybody who has gone out of their way for civil rights. And I'm paraphrasing, clearly. Like, he's saying that it's offensive to black people because he's not playing it as a black man, like, as Lawrence Fishburne would be playing it. He's playing it as what, like, Frank Langella and, help me out here. Who was the guy who played it?
I'm going to look it up because I can't think of it
right. Yeah, exactly. The guy who played it in the Donner movies and stuff like that, you know? And I'm like, so I kind of, in a way, see John Byrne's crazy logic behind this. At the same point in time, has he ever watched a movie that Lawrence Fishburne plays in? Lawrence Fishburne ain't no ghetto black man. You know, like, that's not how he acts. That's not how he talks. That's just not how he is. I thought when they said Lawrence Fishburne said it, I'm like, oh, I could see him playing Perry White. Like, I don't know why I didn't have a problem with it.
Jackie Cooper.
Thank you.
I watched a clip from it today, from Man of Steel.
Yeah.
With a scene between Perry and Lois, and didn't bother me.
Right, like, you don't think it's him trying to play a white guy as a black guy, right?
No, he's just playing a hard-nosed Perry White.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you think about this, Bruce?
I'm all for it.
That's all you have to say about the matter? You're opinionated, come on!
Yeah, you're, like, more opinionated than Mike or I.
Is Michael Shannon the first American to play Zod?
I guess not really, because Michael Rosenbaum technically played him too in Smallville.
He didn't play Zod. He was
Zod embodied him.
That's stupid. That doesn't count.
Well, you can't make up things that don't count because you don't like it.
Yeah, I just did.
Who was the guy who actually played Zod on Smallville?
I'm looking it up.
Okay, because they're in season 8 or 9, they did have, actual Zod.
The Lawrence Fishburne black thing, if they'd have made the decision 20 years ago, I'd say, yeah, it needs to be played differently.
Mm-hmm.
But because the character of Perry White would have grown up differently.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
He would have come into editor-in-chief position during a time of turmoil, racially.
Yeah, exactly. Civil rights was a very prominent
nowadays issue. That doesn't matter.
Right.
Especially coming from, I work in the media, no one gives a shit.
Right.
It's actually probably a bonus to the newspaper to have a black editor-in-chief. And when we get a black reporter or anchor, that's a big deal.
Right.
For us. We are proud of that. If we had an Asian, we would not stop talking about that, because people respect them.
Well, let me throw this one out at you guys. Reboot X-Men movie. White girl plays Storm. Good or bad?
That would probably be seen as even more racist.
Yeah, because you're getting rid of a minority. You can add a minority all day. Okay, think about when...
This goes back to our political discussions.
Think about when Ryan Choi replaced Ray Palmer.
Uh-huh.
Kudos all around.
I don't remember.
This is when Byrne actually took...
But it was...
Oh, and he's British, by the way. Callum Blue.
Okay.
Okay. But it was kudos. All is my check and see if Michael Shannon's actually
this
American.
This also goes to when what's his name took over for Firestorm.
Yeah, the black kid.
Don't forget about Blue Beetle.
Blue Beetle.
I hate that decision. Well, no, hang on. No,
it's
the Atom was replaced with the Atom. Yes. Firestorm was replaced with Firestorm.
Blue Beetle went to a science fiction
character. They each had similar, but from Ted Kord to Jaime Ramirez, you went from Blue Beetle having no superpowers. He's basically like, you know, Batman out of his own garage.
Right.
To this kid's like the avatar of Blue Beetle technology.
But doesn't it swing it back to the old Blue Beetle? Like
they touched on it at the beginning to try to make people like me happy.
Okay.
And they're like, oh, the predecessor to Ted Kord, he had this
beetle. No, I'm talking about Dan Garrett. I'm talking about Dan Garrett. Okay, yeah, I got you.
Yeah,
okay.
Who came before Ted Kord. Right. Oh, he had this beetle, and he was unable to...
Lexington, Kentucky.
Who, Michael Shannon? That's what I thought.
Sorry.
So that's... He's the first American to play Zod.
Out of... This is...
I don't know about Zod on... are we talking about live action?
Sure.
Okay, because... Yes.
Yeah. Okay. But, because... Terrence Stamp would be British, then, I'm guessing?
Or
Welsh? Sure.
But I'm talking about the Superman animated. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay, anyways. So... What the hell is the guy's name for Firestorm? That's killing me now. Because he's...
I don't know.
Well, now it's him and the other kid.
It's
him and Robbie.
Anyways.
It doesn't matter.
You
can make... A Caucasian character non-Caucasian, but you can't make a non-Caucasian character Caucasian. Because there's apparently enough of us white guys in the world already.
So now this is more. Now this is really funny. So when the first Green Lantern animated film came out, that first flight movie or whatever, I take it back. This is when Justice League New Frontier came out. And people were watching, you know, the trailers for it or something like that. I remember people posting about this. It's like, they're like, why the hell is the Green Lantern white? Yeah. Green Lantern's black. Green Lantern's black. Because there's this, and I don't think about this, but there's this generation of people that grew up with Jon Stewart as the
only Justice League character.
Yeah, exactly.
And even in the comics for a while, too.
Right. I mean, Guy was the Warrior, and Kyle was around still, too. But, like, people that aren't familiar with
Jon Stewart had been there since the 70s, hadn't he?
Yes. Yeah. And consistently since the 70s,
and
too.
And frankly, and I've said this before, like Jon Stewart's a much more interesting character to me than Hal Jordan.
He did join Dark Stars for a while.
Right. Because he got paralyzed at one point in time. Hal healed him before he died as Parallax. And then he joined the Dark Stars, and then he became Green Lantern again.
Now, there was one Justice League episode that Hal Jordan does appear in, Justice League Unlimited.
The alternate reality. Right, yeah. That was pretty cool.
Like, he shows up and he's like
Hal Jordan, I'm already up to
speed. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, it's like, that's kind of neat.
Batman should kill you.
Yeah.
I agree with all those fanboys who cried out that Green Lantern should have been a black guy.
But in the New Frontier...
I understand.
But I guess the difference would be, in the Justice League cartoon, the one that we're referring to, it wasn't Hal Jordan.
It was Jon Stewart.
Right. So when you say, oh, this is a different Green Lantern core, obviously there's many.
Right.
You know, we're talking about a specific character. You know.
But yeah, we're not talking about Hal Jordan is now a black guy.
No.
Right.
We're not talking about Jon Stewart's now a white guy. There's multiple Green Lanterns, and there's four from Earth. Somehow,
there's one Perry White.
Right.
And one Jimmy Olsen.
And one Lois Lane.
And now Jimmy is Jenny.
And Perry's black.
And Perry's... Yeah.
I'm totally fine with the Perry thing. I didn't give a second thought to it whatsoever. Uh-huh. The Jimmy Olsen to Jenny Olsen. How is the Superman relationship going to hold true there?
Is there some weird...
How is she going to be his best friend?
Is it like an awkward tension thing? Like where... Like she's like... And the thing that just dawned on me, because clearly I thought this today, is that maybe this is a... Bear with me on this and just let me finish my thought here as I try to rationalize this. Because of you have this people who are fans of Smallville, over a decade worth of Smallville, yes?
Chloe.
Uh-huh. Chloe is Clark's best friend.
I don't think that has anything to do with it.
I think it does.
If it did, then they would have gone with a blonde.
Maybe, but maybe it's just the... I don't know. Maybe.
And I don't think Chloe is the big draw that you assume she is, because they introduced her in the comics to very little fanfare.
I think she was introduced too late in the comics.
Probably. It was like on season 9 of Smallville, so it would have been irrelevant by that point.
Because people were calling for Chloe for a while.
Right.
When's Chloe going to appear? And I think DC dropped the ball.
Completely.
For more
than I think from what we've seen of the film, and what I'm assuming of the format of the film, is that they made Jimmy Jenny so that Lois could have somebody to talk to have conversations with besides Perry.
And I don't think we're going to
see... Somebody that she could pal around with. And I think they want to make Superman...
You don't think we'll see any backstory?
I don't think we're going to see any real Clark.
No.
Metropolis Clark.
And Superman's... He looks like he's a loner.
This is like Batman Begins... In my opinion.
You think the movie will end with him putting on the glasses and getting a job at the Daily Planet?
I think that's how it ends.
And then it gets laid off?
To...
Because newspapers are shit?
The Dark Man of Steel sequel. Man of Steel... Man of Dark.
It would be. They probably call it The Last Son of Krypton, wouldn't they?
Maybe.
Why not? If it's Man of Steel, I mean, how many other titles does he have?
Adventures of Superman. Yeah, there you go.
That's ridiculous.
It is.
Action comic.
Just call them the movies. Just going to be action movie.
The next Spider-Man movies, by the way, Amazing Fantasy.
No, I think that if they're calling this one Man of Steel, and it looks like there are other. Kryptonians.
Man of Steel Returns.
No, I think the next one will be The Last Son of Krypton. And it will be, you know, after this movie, maybe, you know, he destroys Zod and all his people or whatever, or exiles him. Or maybe he makes them the Bottle City of Kandor. I don't know.
I've tried to stay away from too many spoilers of...
Do you want to know how it ends?
No. Do you know how it ends?
No, I don't know.
I was like, oh, I might get mad about that one because the movie's not even out, Bruce. I'm not going to lie.
I do think that it'll end with him...
Putting on the glasses.
Okay, I don't think... You think they would have shown him in Clark mode by now?
Maybe.
Saw him with a beard.
Yeah, he's Clark Kent, but I'm thinking like Metropolis Clark Kent, bumbling or whatever. Alter ego Clark Kent.
Is he going to bumble?
Who knows? Who knows?
Is he a bumbler?
Who knows?
They might try to.
Now is he a bumbler in the current comics?
No, not really. Actually, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I stopped reading Action around issue 8. So I'm up to 24 now?
He's like 20. He's like 22.
21.
I don't know.
No, I'm not talking about his age.
I'm talking about the issue. 21.
Oh, he's up to 21 now?
Yeah, okay. Up to 21. Okay. And I don't know. I don't actually know really what's going on. I've even picked up the last two issues because Andy Diggle was writing it.
Diggle.
But,
now, do you feel...
I don't think...
As long as betrayed, okay. It shouldn't matter. Oh, okay. Still don't know.
But this is a guy rumored to be Metallo. Tomo Pinnicott from Battlestar Galactica and Dollhouse.
Fair enough.
There's shots of him walking with Lois in the trailer.
Huh.
Now, the one thing we know about Christopher Nolan in these movies is that he likes to put red herrings in there.
Nolan come in late to this?
No. He was the producer before the Snyder
was Snyder was courted before.
They had him before even The Dark Knight Rises was like in pre-production to go ahead and produce the Man of Steel. But you remember when The Dark Knight came out, there was a lot of tease about what's his name from Dead Zone and the Brat Pack as being...
Anthony Edwards.
Not Anthony Edwards. That's from ER.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's Goose from Top Gun.
My apologies.
Being
Anthony Michael.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah, Edwards. Being Edward Edward Enigma, though. There was a big thing about him being that, and he was just the reporter.
Right.
Right? Yeah, and they like to throw... He likes to put fake teases in things, too. So he could just be some dude walking, you know, just another guy at the planet. Maybe he's the... Who's the sports guy at the plant all the time? I can't think of his name.
Oh, yeah. Maybe with the handlebar mustache.
Yeah, yeah. But like, maybe he's
Clark,
like...
you'd be a real man. And
yeah. Maybe he's not the slightly pedophile... Or...
What the hell?
Rapist version of... You know what I mean? He looks like a date rape kind of guy. You know what I mean?
Jenny Olsen, get over here.
Anyway.
Warm my lap, baby.
So
warm
it. Sitting at time.
Let me take a look here. So basically, we're saying it doesn't matter.
It'll be interesting to see, like, the Jenny Olsen thing could, if they do it right, could be good, but it might be, they could bumble it, too. We have faith in Christopher Nolan movies, because he's obviously set high standards, but it's not him directing either. Uh-huh. So, Zack Snyder has proven hit and miss, too.
Right.
So, let's
talk about his track record. Watchmen.
Snyder?
Yeah.
Want to start at the beginning?
Sure.
Dawn of the Dead.
No.
Wait, there's one before it?
No, I'm telling you, no, I don't enjoy that movie.
You don't enjoy
it? There's parts of it.
I didn't write it.
No, I know. Now, some of the movie was... There's okay parts of the movie. I enjoyed it the first time. I've enjoyed it less the more times I've watched it.
300.
I enjoyed 300.
Visually stunning. But, storytelling-wise, he used a lot of slow-mo.
Yes.
If you take the slow-mo out of that movie, it's probably 30 minutes long.
Watchmen.
I enjoyed The Watchmen.
Visually stunning again. Storytelling nightmare. Just a confusing film from beginning to end.
I don't think so.
My wife. Well, no, we've read the comics. We cheated. We read the screenplay, and we saw the storyboards years before the movie. Ralphie, who went into this thing blind, she after the movie, she's like, who's this? What's this about? What's going on? Then people I talked to at work who'd never had anything to do with the comic before. The movie did not bring them up to speed, clearly.
Okay.
And some of the shots, some of the fight scenes, it was confusing. It's a tight shot of a hand for no reason. So what the hell's that about? Is he punching someone? I don't know.
So what else do we have after? What's after
Watchmen? The thing with strippers.
Sucker Punch.
Yep. Visually stunning, very light on the screen.
Sucker Punch. So yet. maybe, okay, so.
Oh, is Legends it that, of the Guardian.
So is it that, that he's.
He directed that.
Oh, the thing with the owls.
Yeah, no interest in that.
It looks visually good, though.
I don't know.
So, okay, so you're looking at a director who can make visually good-looking movies.
Yeah.
But you also have Nolan's brother and Goyer both writing the scripts who did all the Batman movies.
Yeah, but Goyer also did Blade 3.
That's fine, but one movie versus three pretty solid movies, though.
What was that horror movie he did? About the boy who was half dead, trapped in the sewer grate? The In-Between or something like that? I'm just saying Goyer's not 100%.
But I'm saying with Nolan balancing it out, I think the script might work.
The way you're coming at this could be the perfect movie.
It could be. There's enough balance from good ass. If you take the good out of every one of these things, pieces that are coming together, you should, in theory, have a really good movie.
Yeah.
Now, it depends on if the bad starts mixing in with that, too. So that's that.
Yeah.
But, go ahead, Justin, I'm sorry.
Henry Cavill, Cavill, as I was saying, is pronounced like travel.
So Cavill.
Cavill, yeah.
Isn't that what we were saying, Cavill?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not Cavill.
We were
not Cabela's, it's not a hunting thing, Justin. But I think we've hit a point where we're going to hit a break. And yes. I think when we come back, we're going to actually talk a little bit more about the legacy of Superman.
Yeah.
So.
It's a Derby City Comic-Con. Tony Isabella, Stuart Sager, Hugo Smith, Bruce Hughes, and Justin Wasson. It's all going down June 29th at the Kentucky International Convention Center. That's in Kentucky. They make bourbon there.
All right, we're back, and so we got done talking about our thoughts about the
upcoming.
Upcoming. So there have been several precursor movies to this. Five, I'd say, bigger ones. We're not going to get into like the small ones.
Just the movie.
Just the movie. Yeah. Okay. So we start off with Superman the movie.
Right. Might be a little tricky on some of these, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess we could kind of do six.
Let's say five.
We could be six, though.
Yeah.
So, okay, so.
Yeah. Well, are we talking about the director's cut?
There's the Donner cut versus Superman 2.
Yeah.
I like the
Donner. We'll get to it.
Anyways.
Okay.
So, you have the original Superman the movie.
Superman the motion picture.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Superman the movie.
Superman
it's
the movie.
Star Trek the motion picture.
Yeah.
That's right.
Which was 77, Superman the movie?
I'm waiting for Superman the film.
Superman the movie is 77, 76?
77, no, it was Superman. 79.
79?
I believe so. I'll double check.
All right. So,
I'm going to keep us on.
That was lightning in a bottle. Everything worked out perfectly in that movie.
And it's.
Yeah, Gene Hackman, you know, Christopher
Hackman?
Everything was.
78.
There was just synergy in that movie.
And it was. And it's a movie that's lighthearted and fun. It's. When you think about.
Serious
like,
when it needs to be serious.
Right.
Who hasn't wept a little when Jonathan Kent dies?
Right, exactly.
It scared me of having any kind of pains in my arm.
That's where I woke up with this.
He grabbed his arm, and then I'm like, oh, crap, as a kid. I'm like,
I got tendonitis, help me.
Your heart's in your arm.
I could have been.
He's got a bad case of the Kents.
I was a kid when I saw it.
But just, there's a lot of good stuff about the original movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I think is the common misconception about a lot of Superman stuff is that it's not how necessarily strong he is. Sometimes, and people are like, well, it's the kryptonite, and why should Lex Luthor even pose a challenge? This man who's clearly super intelligent can figure out a way to beat somebody who is extremely...
But the movies are a little too funny. There's a little too much comedy. Luther isn't quite as threatening.
Right.
His plans aren't quite as ingenious.
The original Luther was a little more bumbly.
The movie in general was just simple.
Right. But it was fun, though.
It was.
It's one of those movies when you
look at it. It reflected the time.
It did. And you think that's a good age of cinema when you really think about it. Like, that when people refer to, like, a silver screen, I think that's, like, a movie you'd want to see on it. Like, if they did a showing again, I'd want to go see that movie in theater. You know what I mean? Just because it's such a good movie to see, yeah. I think, on a big screen.
Wait, we haven't reviewed these before on the podcast, have we?
I don't think so. Does it sound like I have to review this?
I don't have any deja vu right now.
All right.
We talked about the Donner Cut when it came out.
Okay, yeah.
I was not aboard for this.
No, we wouldn't have done that because it came out in, what, 2007?
Before Superman.
We talked about it when you watched it, I think.
Maybe. I really liked Superman.
Everybody portrayed their characters very well, too. Like, you know, Perry's not as hard-nosed in it, but, like, yeah. Clark is the classic Clark. You know what I mean? Right. The bumbling reporter, very accident-prone and everything like that, but... kind of a clever thing.
They didn't change the Superman suit.
Right.
Yeah, when I think of Superman, I think of Christopher
Reeves. Yeah, and that's one thing.
Although it makes me uncomfortable when they draw him like Christopher Reeve in the comics.
I thought Gary Frank did a really good job drawing him like...
It looks creepy.
I think it looks good. I really like
the way... I saw him do a New 52 Superman and then look anything like Christopher
Reeves. No, not at all.
Does it look like Jim Cavill?
No. Henry.
There's Jim Cavill.
You took Jim... because you're talking about Jimmy Olsen.
Jim Cavallaro,
that's exactly who I'm talking about.
Anyways, so we jump forward. So from Superman, which was done by Donner, to Superman 2, which was supposed to be done by Donner, and they said, "You went over budget. We're cutting you out."
Yep, right.
And they bring in
Richard Lester.
Richard Lester.
Man, Richard Lester.
So
three Musketeer, four Musketeer fan.
When Superman 2, I loved Superman 2 when I was younger, just because like. The Zod stuff, which I thought was really cool. Yeah. Just him fighting.
The Phantom Zone is creepy. It's just scary.
Yeah, well, you see that at the beginning of the original one, but when they're flying through, you're like, God, that's frightening. Yes. As a kid, you're like...
That is hell.
Yeah, that is definitely hell. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
it made me fear plates of glass.
And the cool...
and your arm.
Yeah, exactly.
Has a lot of phobias.
Yes, because of Superman movies.
It's actually really interesting, too, when you think about
Superman
the...
Superman 3.
If you ever see the Superman porn, God, what are you going to be afraid
Sorry, of? Mike. Go ahead.
A lot of movies at the time didn't, like, immediately spill over to the next movie, too. But this one did, from Superman 1, because they were both being filmed at the same time, right?
But it took a little longer to get Superman 2 off the ground, and I'm going to give you a win on that. But it was supposed to be right away.
Right.
But it didn't happen. But
because there was budget cuts because Donner went so far over, that's why they had to fire him because he had like 80 or 70% of the two shot. They said you're way over. Yeah. We're bringing somebody else in to chop this thing up and do it pretty much.
1980.
There you go. So
I have to not blame Donner for that. I have to blame people around him.
Oh, I don't blame Donner at all.
You see the budget escalating. You could step in at any moment and say, whoa, and you could just rein him back. Or you could let him destroy himself.
Right.
I have to blame the
producers. Used the ending of Superman 2 for Superman 1.
Right.
Yeah.
The whole travel.
Yeah, they're backwards in time. So.
He also had a lot of undefined powers like that, too.
Right. And I'm okay with the thing that is bothering
me. Kissing Lois and wiping her mitts.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. And then the whole, like,
throwing a logo?
That cellophane thing. What the hell was that? When you watch it, you're just kind of like, when you're a kid, you're like, wow, that was really weird. And then you get older and you go, why does he keep glad wrap around all the time? You know,
I would use that all the time. Bank robbery.
I know.
Just throw that out.
And then, then his, like, the multiple selves that he has of him.
Yeah. I don't think it has multiple selves. I think it has a representation of his super speed.
That's you're a crazy person because I think it's supposed to be holograms of him.
He's like,
I can't,
everywhere.
But
because only one
and
of
then
them
he
is
builds
solid.
One of ice real quick.
There was some weird stuff that he. There was some really really weird stuff when you get older that and Superman's very aggressive. Like I don't know if it's Lester the way he directs him. Like there's the part where Luther's like trying to explain. He's like, "Oh, we can do this and that." He's like, "It's too late, Luther!" And he like screams at him for no reason. You're like, And he's like, it's too late. And you're like, wow, he's a little hostile there.
He's had enough.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, well, Superman has his limits.
If you go back to Superman 1, he is rather angry at Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor, what, he says, okay, I've buried a bomb. Whatever. I've got a bomb somewhere in the city. He shows up. He's really pissed off. He's like, you disease maniac.
It's not,
Come on, where's all this aggression coming from?
I just keep thinking of Otisburg.
Otis
Where was Otisburg?
Otisburg? Yeah. Otisburg? It's a bitty place, Mr. Luthor.
Mr. Luthor. God, that was awesome. Was there ever another Otis? Did Otis continue?
Otis did make some appearances in.
He was in the comics.
Jeff Loeb's comics, yeah.
Oh, the Man of Tomorrow. Superman of Tomorrow. What was that he did with.
Ed.
Hold on. Oh, Ed McGuinness. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I'm thinking of Brian Azzarello with Jim Lee. That's what I was thinking.
Let's quickly talk about the Richard Donner cut.
Right.
Because there's some things I like about it and things I don't like about it.
Okay.
I like the beginning more. I like the fact that the nuclear missiles from Superman 1 broke the Phantom Zone.
For some reason, in my mind, that's the way it always happened, though. Like, I don't know why, even before watching the Donner cut. In my mind, that
we put that together.
I guess, I think it made sense.
You're filling in the gaps,
right?
Right.
I don't know why, but for even as a kid, I've always had it in my mind, the Phantom Zone shattered because he threw that missile in space.
Yeah.
That just made sense to me, even as a kid, before I knew what was going on. And then the Donner kid did it. And I'm like, wait, did I make this happen? Yeah. Like, you know, it's like one of those things where you're like. I made this happen.
It's easy to watch the Donner cut and think to yourself, well, that's the way it's always been.
Right.
To a degree.
Yeah.
And then you get to the weird animatics, and you're like, oh, this is just a movie.
Or where he's like, the test footage.
Yeah.
And Superman's lost, 25 pounds.
Yep. Is this where, she shoots him?
Right. Which is a cool way of doing it.
Right, where she finds out, you know, if I was really Clark Kent, I'd be dead, and I'm using blades.
Right.
Yeah, Lois being very clever.
One, I always wanted to, I was scared of the Niagara Falls, too. But
you were terrified of everything.
Right.
So as Star Trek scared the hell out of me when I was a kid from different things, Superman had I'm going to die of a stroke in my arm, I'm going to fall off Niagara.
It was Gremlins for me.
Is Gremlins. You had Gremlins.
I was terrified.
It was more of a legitimate thing, though.
Yeah, well,
it's a horror movie.
Because I'm a man.
Shave your balls and go get cut real quick, right? God.
The ending of Superman, the Donner cut, still bothers me because this is the same thing. He reverses time, which is fantastic, right?
Right.
No. Except for the fact he goes to the diner, he beats up the man, he doesn't remember him.
Right.
Now, kind of a prick.
Now, the one thing with the Donner cut is it's not Richard Donner who oversaw the whole thing, though.
I know, and it's based on his notes. Right. It's a very funny scene, and it works in the Lester cut.
Right.
But in the Donner cut,
it does not.
It doesn't work because he just comes off like an a-hole. Right.
Now, are
you've told me this since
the day one.
That's really the only part that really bothers. But, and that same in the Donner cut, the part where Luth, like I was talking about in another one, where Luthor just. He jumps down Luther's throat at the end or whatever. He just said, it's too late, Luther. You know, he's just very firm. He's not, he doesn't just, it's too late. Like, he doesn't, super breathe about the room or something, you know. It's a calmer collect, and there's less of the, you don't have the, I don't want to say hokey fighting, but some of the fight sequences between Superman and, the other Kryptonians is... It's really hokey when you think it's they're
on wires. They're clearly on wires.
It's pretty bad. And so I like that there's less of that fighting. It's more of them just power versus power.
Now, this isn't with the movies, but still with Donner. Did either of you ever read the Bizarro thing that Donner wrote?
Oh, we're talking about the comic?
Yes.
The last Eric Powell did?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Oh, no. Wait. Eric Powell? What?
Did the art.
Jeff Johns and Richard Donner, when they did their Superman run together, they did The Last Son of Krypton, and then they did Eric Powell from Goon came in and did The Bizarro World, which is three issues.
I read it.
Okay, and
I didn't read Last Son of Krypton.
It's okay. It's got Kubert on it, which you don't like Kubert a lot. But Eric Powell, Bizarro Superman kidnaps Paul Kent to the Bizarro World. It's a really well done.
And the Bizarro, he makes his own planet.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's a bit weird. It's got a blue sun and, I don't know. Let's take a break real quick.
Okay. Hey, Brian, you want to do what we do every night?
No, Pinky. Tonight we check out that wonder kid, Brian H. Drake.
You mean that fantastic chap at RyanHDrake.deviantart.com?
Yes, Pinky. The one and only.
Shall we cue the music?
Of course.
RyanHDrake.deviantart.com. RyanHDrake.deviantart.com. More than art, it's really quite the fun. He raises all the stakes. He'll do a double take. Will you check out RyanHDrake.deviantart.com?
Come and join us.
Oh. I see what you did there, Brian.
All right, we had a quick little break there, and right. we're back talking, or finish up Donner Cut right,
right.
now.
I want to say that I can mentally take both the Donner and the Lester Cut and just make my own little movie in my head.
Right.
And I'm just okay with that. There's things like for both of them. There's things that they took out of the Lester Cut and the Donner Cut that I really like, I still have memories of. I think
the
whole Houston...
What is this planet, Houston? You love her a lot. Like, you met her at Mid-Ohio
County. They take over the town. And right. They take out some stuff.
What is this? Where is this planet? Or who's the president of Houston? there's a lot of neat stuff that she had. Right. Superman!
And wasn't the cop the guy from the Bond films?
Yeah.
He's probably the same cop.
I think so, yeah.
Now, Ursa's not in the new one.
No.
They've replaced her.
Yeah.
It's another female.
Yeah.
But in one of the trailers, she has a good line. But for every human you save,
for every city that you save, a million more will die, or something like that. Yeah, that was a good one.
And she looks Ursa-esque.
I can't remember her name, but I think it's even something with a U or like Yislam or something. Yeah. I don't remember something like that.
She probably got like the. She wanted that haircut. Like, yeah, she's bad. I want that haircut.
And, yeah, exactly.
And did you guys see the picture of the giant Kryptonian?
The non-version, pretty much of him.
Yeah.
I mean, they're taking a lot of cues, clearly.
But I don't think it's a remake.
No.
And that was when they first announced, oh, Zod's going to be in it. Mm-hmm. Oh, and everyone is shouting, oh, it's going to be a remake.
Now, is Jor-El alive in it?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Or is that a hologram? The hologram?
I think it's
gotten a lot better.
Maybe. But, and, you know, you got Russell Crowe being Jor-El, which I think is going to be, personally, and Kevin Costner. And we're jumping.
Yeah. Superman 3.
Now...
So Richard Pryor's on, I think, the Tonight Show.
Weird departure.
And he says, I think it's the Tonight Show. Maybe Letterman. And he says, either Johnny Carson or David Letterman, he is a big Superman fan.
Right.
And this leads into...
him getting the part. And when you watch the beginning part of this movie...
That's Lester as well, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a thing that you can tell about movies in the 70s as they go into movies in the 80s. 70s had you get a lot of this serious tone, a lot of, like, downbeat stuff, you know what I mean, in the 70s. And the 80s, you get that it's a little too goofy at times, where the movie, if it took itself just a little more serious, could be a really, really good movie. But you take all of the comedians, and they just start throwing comedians left and right at movies, and movies that they probably shouldn't be
in. The timing is different. Yes. The body language is different. You can't take Richard Pryor seriously.
The beginning part of Superman 3, and I've probably only watched it once or twice in the past 10 years, you know what I mean? It's tough to watch. Because the whole beginning sequence where it's like the Calamity stuff, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, just end this opening sequence right now. Like, I don't like it. Uh-huh. Like, I can't watch it. Like, and honestly,
it's an embarrassing movie through and through.
I've never watched Superman 4 because of it.
Oh, well, can we talk about that?
Yeah, we're good. We'll get to that. But so Richard Pryor is he's a hacker, right?
At the time.
But he didn't know that. Didn't they send him to school?
No. He gets a
he's a computer programmer, and he accidentally puts a code into the computer because they go into this whole spiel at
Yeah, but I thought there was a bit before. Where he's not a hacker.
I think he's just like a natural hacker.
Okay. The comedian is the natural hacker. Where's Eddie Murphy when you need him?
But, no, I mean, I saw it as a kid. And as a kid, I really liked it.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff in it.
I remember thinking Metallo was going to be at the end. Or Brainiac. When he runs in. Something has to be.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like...
The villain has to be more than just
an angry woman
with a computer.
I never wanted to get next to, like, large amounts of computer equipment. because this movie.
What of the Superman movies would you? I was at least mine was science fiction.
The very top of the Statue of Liberty frightened you as well.
No, but you get bucks of women, you know, very end, and she's like too close, and all of a sudden she gets sucked. I'm like,
now here's my other question: why was Lois not in that movie so much? Did she have money? That's what I was kind of thinking. Because then they bring Lana into the picture.
Annette O'Toole, perfect. I like that casting.
And I love Annette O'Toole because it then later plays into Smallville. The funny thing about Annette O'Toole is when they cast her as Ma Kent, they didn't realize that she had played in a
Superman.
I swear to God, I've watched the documentary about this. And so the first time Lana and Annette O'Toole is on there, like, I can't remember. It was after she got done doing her lines. She's like, well, you know I was in Superman 3, right? They're like...
She was in the first one as well.
No.
When he runs by the train.
Different actress.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and
looks
she
very
similar.
I apologize.
Second Ma Kent in the Smallville pilot. She was they recast her. They had reshoot everything with her.
Right, that's right.
Right.
But, like, they had no idea that she was in Superman 3. Now, to Miles Miller and... Golf, whatever the guys who created Smallville were. Those guys were making a show for the WB, now CW. So they were looking for teen drama and probably don't really know too much about the best. Yeah.
I think if you take, I think a lot of stuff good with the whole, Lana Lang
right.
and the sun thing. And of course,
Kryptonite.
Yeah, the Kryptonite.
The weird Kryptonite, like.
You throw some kind of like.
I love how he just guesses what the last little like random hit's gonna be like
car or something. Yeah, it was. You throw that in there, you know,
and then you get the pseudo bizarro.
Yeah, I remember.
That was amazing.
Well, I remember even as a child, me thinking, "Does this mean something? I'm not getting. Uh-huh. Is this deeper than it should be? Because it's so silly. Him in the junkyard, and I'm like,
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Maybe.
When Superman just goes around acting like a dick to everybody.
Well, wasn't the competition in the junkyard, wasn't it supposed to be some sort of like this different psychological element to him?
Really, yeah, I don't think it was really two people.
No,
was him battling himself. And
going that's a bit over. Heady for a Superman movie in, what, 83?
Yeah, so they throw that in there. Look, here we are, we're talking about there's all these silly elements. And they throw in like a really serious psychological problem.
But they didn't handle it very serious.
See, this is the problem with the 80s movies. Like some of the 80s movies is that you have serious situations with a comedic tone and then you don't know how to take it. You know what I mean?
Because
you have like this calamity picture at the beginning and all this other stuff. And then all of a sudden you get this part where like, hold on, I have to think now? Because you have me.
It's not even I have to think. It's like I have to really think about this.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Is this where you're steering me? Really? We spent an hour and a half leading up to Superman throwing Clark into a trash compactor?
It's really weird.
I love the battle. I mean, that just makes the movie for me.
Well, I think you lose 2 out of 3.
That's fine. But, we'll go to... We talked about a little comedy earlier in the other Superman movies. When they go to the bowling alley. And Timmy, right? I think his name, Timmy? And he's, he's not that great. And what's his nuts? The Pete Ross of the, that world.
Yeah.
Give him a hard time. And then, Clark blows the ball and explodes all the things. That's kind of like something you would see in Superman 1 or 2.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and they went a little,
there's little elements like that where Clark is going out of his way to use his power that nobody realizes. And then there's the beginning part where it's just, shit slapstick. Falling down all yeah. There's too much slapstick. That it's a different kind. There's the light beat comedy versus
Star Trek Insurrection to.
It's people who don't.
No, I would say it's more.
It's people. It's the boy trying. It's people trying to look back at what came before and say these are the key elements that made this movie successful. We need to have X amount of slapstick, X amount of romance. They tried to reproduce. Perfection, almost, and you can't do that.
It was not
analytically. You can't have a boardroom of people sit down and say, this is what made a good Superman movie.
Superman 3, to me, is what Star Trek 4 was. Star Trek 4 has a lot, like, now there's some humanitarian elements to Star Trek 4 that I think give it a better thing, but Star Trek 4, you get a lot of the silliness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, double dumbass. Like, there's just stuff in the movie that is just like, it's just kind of silly.
Well, I think you needed that after 3.
Yes.
And 2.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, oh, hey, by the way, Spock died. By the way, Spock's alive. Now your son's dead. It's How do you like that?
The thing with Star Trek, Star Trek went all over the place, even in the episodes.
Right.
I guess they could have brought Carol Marcus in and slit her throat.
Yeah.
Remember Carol? She wasn't in the last movie. There she is.
But Superman, there wasn't the juxtaposition, and it wasn't an even flow. It wasn't like, okay, here's a serious moment, and now it's funny. It was just like, this is weird. This is really weird. It's getting weirder, kids.
Hope you
put on your weird pants.
So now going from there,
man, I can't believe you haven't seen Superman for the Quest for Peace.
I'll try to watch it at some point in time. I just after getting through,
Superman, I didn't think it was that bad. I remember everyone complaining about it, but I remember watching it and thinking,
yeah, it's all right.
So what
we're gonna spoil some stuff for you.
No, I know some of the stuff about it, but go ahead.
John Cryer.
He's the Superman. No, seriously though, Superman Quest for Peace.
Written by Christopher Reeve, wasn't it?
Yes.
Co-written? Inspired by?
I think based on the short story. I don't know. And then it probably mutated into, and it wasn't funded well.
No. It was, I remember
it was shorter than it should be.
It starts out cheesy.
Didn't this isn't this the one where they really wanted like a bizarro Superman into like did they want
to
go?
Well, they wanted to put him up against a supervillain, I think.
Again, because of Superman 3.
Yeah. Well, no, but because 3, it's like it's him versus a computer.
Right, so they wanted to go to Superman 2. They wanted to try to take a page out of Superman.
So they got Nuclear Man.
Nuclear Man.
I thought it was Solar Man.
I'm looking up. I'm pretty sure it's Nuclear Man.
That does make more sense.
Now, in Superman 4, to my
regulation, what was played by Shadow Stevens?
He takes all of the nuclear bombs on Earth.
And supposedly throws them into the sun.
And out of this comes
Lex Luthor. And his nephew,
John Cryer,
Two and a Half Men.
Right. No, I know John Cryer.
Yeah. And, Steel.
Who, and John Cryer. Now, John Cryer, also at the time, known for his John Hughes movies, too, right? Yep. At this point in time, right?
Right.
Yeah, because he was playing like an amped up ducky.
Yeah.
Yeah. He, there was a bowling ball. Like, Superman had, like, a hair in a museum, and it was holding up, like, a bowling.
Well, it was so, like a one-ton weight or something.
Right. Yeah. So they cut that somehow.
With bolt cutters.
And then they send that up with a couple extra tidbits.
It was some of Luther's DNA as well mixed in.
Into, with the nuclear, they sneak in, they get that in there.
Yep. He cloned it.
Yeah. And becomes...
whatever his name is.
Who
played Nuclear Man?
Like...
or Solar Man, however. I don't think they could have used...
Fabio's uncle or something.
I don't think they could have used Solar Man because... Solar Man. Well, no, Solar Man. No, there
didn't
was
exist at the time. Solar there was Man of the Atom.
Nuclear Man. Mark Pillow.
Okay.
Solar Man.
However,
he
was voiced by Gene Hackman, which I did not know until a couple years
ago. Hackman. Yeah. I always think of every time I think of Gene Hackman, I always think of the Christopher Reeve episode of South Park where he's eating. What
has normal?
I can't remember what. Christopher Reeve, like
he was physically imposing. Like you saw him and you thought,
yeah,
okay,
maybe
this
think
guy.
Of like Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah,
yeah,
kind
he
of.
He kind of had like He-Man,
except he had
being
had way too pretty hair.
But he had a lot of good things. He had like a takeover of Daily Planet.
Yeah,
Daily Planet.
Did he look normal? Or did he look like
he was just a pretty dude?
Oh, okay. So he wasn't like
a big.
He wasn't dude. Like funky colored or anything.
No.
Okay, gotcha.
He had a blonde mullet. He looked like Farrah Fawcett.
And talk like Bizarro.
More so like. He talked backwards?
No, he
just,
did.
It was just like slow.
Me am Nuclear Man.
Superman.
So it's almost.
Yeah, Frankenstein.
I kill Superman. It was.
What was the.
Because you even saw
what
him.
What was the bad guy from Highlander, the first Highlander?
Oh, the Kurgan?
Yeah, Kurgan. He's like
from
the
steps?
He's like the Kurgan, yeah. Gotcha.
And
I liked Kurgan in the TV show better. Richard Mull, he reattached his head.
Another best part. Sorry,
No, go ahead.
I like the fight on the
double
moon.
Double date.
Oh, the double date.
Clark gets a date. Superman gets a date. Superman's dating Lois. And Clark is dating, what's her name? Hemingway. The Hemingway kid.
Ernest Hemingway?
Yes.
No, Margot Hemingway.
Margot Kidder.
It's Margot Kidder.
Give me a second.
Anyways.
Nuclear Man and Superman, they have a fight.
Mariel Hemingway.
Is it prequel?
Mariel Hemingway
yes.
is dating Clark. And Lois is dating Superman, and they're meeting at the same place.
So
Clark has to keep on, like, Yeah. Finding ways to get out.
And so he's got the Mrs. Doubtfire thing going on.
Well, pre.
I don't know. But that kind of thing where he has to get. Excuse me, Lois, I got to run the bathroom. That's exactly what God, he's got bladder.
It's pretty well done.
Okay. But I'll give it a watch. Okay. I'll give it a watch.
Nuclear Man, he almost killed Superman, didn't he?
Yeah, he got him. He, like, scratched him.
Because he had nuclear fingernails.
Yeah, he, like, grew up fingernails and, like, scratched him. And Superman got, like, super sick.
Yeah.
And then Lois.
Yeah, because, like, Superman's, like, in the bed shivering. And, like, he's sweating. Right. And he looks jaundiced.
She goes, yeah, you know what? The kiss never actually worked. She admits the kiss. She's known.
Right.
Yeah. And she admits, I've known. And she says,
doesn't he call Malkin?
I think he tries to kiss her again. Doesn't he try to make her?
I don't remember. But doesn't he contact Malkin? Like, he reaches
out? No, Ma's dead. Ma's dead because he's selling
the farm.
Throws a. But doesn't have the football, it's a baseball. This
she
time.
Died in between movies, didn't she?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Off panel. Yeah. Gotta love those off panel deaths. Yeah. You love those.
I'm going to find a picture of Nuclear. But he's a short film. Off
panel.
Short film.
What was the one thing? There was a book you were
reading. What were you saying? Was the battle was cool?
Well, the movie.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. Because. She's like somehow surviving.
Yeah, well, it turns out. Nuclear Man, not nuclear powered. He's solar powered.
So he's on the dark side of the moon and he can't.
If you take him out of the sun, he shuts down.
Okay, this is a bad, but.
Looks like Hercules.
Yeah, but it's seriously like Luther closes the curtains and he just.
Yeah, and Gene Hackman got like full on like Lex Luthor from Burns Man of Steel kind of.
Yeah, thing. I mean, he's got a kryptonite ring. Doesn't he?
I think maybe. Probably. If not, then it would have made sense.
Yeah, but I think even
he was like really rich and.
Okay. Because he's got the ascot and he's got the shelf of wigs.
So we go from.
Lois Lane was back.
Because I like to throw Family Guy tidbits out all the time. There's a part where, in one of the Family Guy episodes, Peter says he always likes when they say the name of the movie. You know, in the movie or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And Justin, you like this too.
I thought it was a drinking game.
And they, and so like they go through like several movies where it's like, oh, and that's how you got your groove back. And Peter goes, hey! You know, he's really excited. And then it goes to Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. He's like, and he says, to beat this challenge, I'll have to become something more than just Superman. I'll have to become something even more. I'll have to become Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. And Peter goes, oh, so that's why they call it that. it makes no sense, you know what I mean?
He was disarming the planet.
I know, yeah, I know, but there's no way to work that into the movie, you know what I mean? And like, hey, Superman, are you for The Quest of Peace? The Quest for Peace, you know, like...
I think it's something that Superman would have tried to done.
Yeah, but I think the government would have put up quite a bit of resistance. All the governments would have.
Yes. Well, nuclear.
It's like you just skipped that part.
So that was 1987.
That was 87, okay.
And you flash almost 20 years later.
2007? 5?
2006.
2006.
Superman Returns.
So, negative Nancy, you tell me what your problem with Superman Returns is right now.
Lex Luthor and Superman are only on screen together for less than 30 seconds. Lex Luthor has the same plan, essentially, he did 20 years ago. It's all about real estate with Lex Luthor, apparently.
Okay.
And Superman is a deadbeat dad. And he stalks Lois and his kid. He just hovers above them a lot. When he's being Superman, when he's doing super things, like stopping the plane from crashing and all that, it's awesome. But a majority of the movie, he's really not that super. He gets stabbed. He overcomes his kryptonite poisoning somehow. Because, okay, he's near kryptonite and it just cripples him.
Right.
Okay? But then he pulls the strength to lift a kryptonite continent and throw it.
Okay, go ahead.
And it's like, how is that? And you even see, it's like, this is giant I don't know. There were a lot of inconsistencies.
So, the thing that I'll argue about the kryptonite thing that he's lifting up, when he initially goes down, and they show him get physically weaker as he does this, when he's initially pushing it up as the continent still expands, yeah, he's separated from it, and then as it's protruding out, that's when he gets weaker. So he's already gone.
If you think back to, you know, a piece of kryptonite the size of a softball brought him to his knees when he was near it for a few seconds.
But we're talking like here and there. We're not talking about like 1,000 miles of soil, though.
I know, but I'm just saying, if you reference the other movies, a piece of kryptonite size of a softball could bring him to his knees, right? So now you multiply that softball a billion fold, and he's touching it, and he's like, I'm getting weak, I'm gonna fall. But I'm still good.
It was visually a
great routine. Kevin Spacey
is a great Lex
brilliant Luthor. Lex Luthor who brushed his teeth. That was the most villainous thing he did.
He's like, okay.
Yeah. That's okay. I mean, that's a... I don't know. The entire movie was a waste. The part where Cal...
A waste?
Yeah, it was a waste. It was a waste of casting. It was a waste of money. It was a waste. They could have been a great movie with a slightly different script. The bit where they're in the old lady's basement and he's testing out the kryptonite and, you know, how to make it grow and all that. And he tells Cal Penn, go over and check it. I thought, oh, sweet, we're going to get Kryptonite Man. He's going to get infected by the ever-expanding kryptonite. He's going to be a villain. Nope. He's fine. Everything's good. And then when his henchmen sit down and all play poker in the kryptonite place, Luthor's like, you know, we're going to condominiums over here and we put a golf course there. And I'm thinking to myself, it looks like shit. It's a giant fucking crystal island. Everything is right angles. It's barren. There's no grass. You're building a goddamn golf course here?
But it's still growing, and it's flooding the rest of the world.
It's a horrible plan. It's a bad movie. Superman gets saved by, the hell's the kid's name? In the plane.
I don't remember.
The, Jason? Lois, yeah.
He doesn't get saved by Jason.
By whoever...
Lois saves him.
No, Lois's husband.
Oh.
Or fiancé or whatever.
Richard?
Perry White's. Richard. Yeah. Like, what the hell? He just shows up in like an old Cessna. And he's like, well,
they talk about him being a pilot.
I don't like it. It's ridiculous. Superman doesn't get saved by Lois Lane's fiancé, who's a playboy pilot. I mean, it's a foolish movie. It's a foolish movie. The best parts are Kevin Spacey and the fact that Superman's illegitimate son was wearing Aquaman pajamas. Those are my two favorite parts of the movie.
I not the airplane sequence. You don't like the airplane sequence?
No, because it's I'm so weak.
No, when he's rescuing the airplane.
That's fine, but it's so short in the grand scheme of things. I have a lot of problems with this movie. I don't want to have problems with it. If they would have said, hey, that bombed, let's bring everyone but Singer back and do this thing right, first in line.
The one weird thing to me that stood out about Superman Returns, and maybe I just haven't probably watched, aside from the X-Men movies, I haven't watched a lot of Bryan Singer movies. Okay, like, I haven't watched Usual Suspects.
App Pupil.
I haven't watched App Pupil.
I haven't seen Jack Johnson.
I haven't seen Jack.
Yeah, that lost a lot of money.
Yeah, I know that bombed.
I don't like CGI characters.
And then I didn't see Valkyrie either.
Oh, that was good.
I don't like Tom Cruise.
But the weird thing with some of the Superman Returns, like, the one thing I really liked about it is that I thought they did a lot of good homage sequences, which, yeah. And that's kind of what it was.
The beginning, Clark jumping from cornfield.
Right, there was some cool beautiful. Thing. Now, him act, now, the way Ralph acted as Superman was very Christopher Reeve. Yeah, it was really well. I thought he did a good job as Clark.
They should have brought him back.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that, too.
He should have got another chance.
There were so many non-talking sequences, too. Like, where it's just a lot of people kind of, like Cal Penn doesn't say a damn word throughout most of that movie. Yeah. I think that's the one thing that, like, when I watch it, as I still, I find enjoyment of the movie because of some of the stuff that happens into it and everything. The thing that's always weirded me out about the movie is just some of the lack of talking things, and maybe this is like, you know, that hovering and that staring thing. Like, I like the part where he's above the earth and he's listening for the calls for help.
Yeah.
And then he swoops in and they're like, there's some cool sequences there, but just, there's some other parts where it's just...
Where he's just him floating over the ocean, staring at his son's bedroom. And you're like, that makes me uncomfortable.
There are some weird spots in it, so I will concede to that. Like, and that's something that's always kind of bothered me, but... Like you said, I want to enjoy the film, though. Like, and there's enough that made me want to enjoy the film, at least, that I would go back and still watch it to this day.
When he's in the hospital, and Mama Kent's out in the parking lot.
That's a good sequence.
She can't go to him.
I like that.
She can't go to her baby boy. It's like, oh.
See, there are parts of this movie that you really do like, though. You just...
There should have been a plot.
I understand. But you do. You want to enjoy this movie, though.
I do. I like so many pieces. I want to rearrange it. I want to fix it.
I really wish...
It's like a kitten with the tail of a scorpion. It's like, I want to pick that kitten up, and I just want to pet it. But it's going to hurt me.
I do think the casting that they did on a lot of the characters was really good, and I think that I think they should. A lot of them should have had a second chance. Kevin Spacey should have been back as Lex Luthor.
Yep.
Brandon Routh, I think, still should have had a shot as Superman. Because I think they could have made a good movie still out of, like, I think they could have continued on with him.
Yeah.
Justin. I think all the points you guys have said are very well said. And I think I'll just take it to the next level. I enjoyed it just a little bit more than Mike, a lot more than you, Bruce.
Well, we went to the theater and we saw it together.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
I saw it opening night.
Yeah, we did too.
Yeah, I think I really enjoyed the nostalgicness of it, which ties into...
Right. And that I think that's why we want to like the movie so much, too.
Oh.
Because there's so... Like, it's the homage portion of it. There's enough that says... You remember Superman from 78, right?
Yep.
It's like... And you're just like... You're like, shit, yeah! Put that back on screen! Yep. Like,
it's a cover band!
Except for the effects are...
Way better.
I mean, I would be remiss not to mention... I went and seen it with Ralphie and some guys from work. We're sitting towards the back of the theater. There's a part where Superman's going around saving people and all this, and there's a newscaster on there, and it talks about Superman stopping a bank robbery in Gotham.
In Gotham, yep.
Ralphie leans forward in her seat and yells, "That's bullshit! Batman wouldn't let Superman into Gotham!" She's very big on Batman and the way that Gotham is his.
Well,
everyone in the theater just turns and looks, and she just shrinks down.
The whole thing was, it's like, Batman doesn't exist in that universe.
It's still... Yeah.
I understand.
But you mentioned Gotham.
Yeah, I know.
Well, then if Batman doesn't exist, then Gotham doesn't exist.
But the whole thing that I will argue is that Superman is around before Batman, too.
Don't try to make this make sense.
No, it makes sense.
Point to Mike.
But it is.
Don't try to make it make sense in the movie. They mention Gotham, so people will be like, oh, Batman.
Makes you think Batman, but Batman's not around yet.
They could have picked any city. Central City?
But you're
whatever fake city Hal Jordan lives in that he destroyed?
Coast City.
Yeah, that one.
Okay, one, Hal Jordan did not destroy Coast City. It was a Mongol, son of a bitch. Take it back.
I just threw that in there to piss you off.
Hey, how's Starling City do? Suck my ass, Bruce. It's not Star City in the show. How do you like that?
Watch this.
You got really bitter about Arrow because they're calling it Starling.
Oh, yeah, I watched one episode. I'm thinking, everything is wrong. Everything is wrong.
Yeah, see, now who's bitter, bitch?
Why even base it on that?
Anyways.
I saw they changed the logo in the comic book to the same as the TV show.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I think had they taken all the...
what about the KKK?
Romance stuff out.
Of Superman Returns?
And the kid thing. No. Not saying I didn't like it, whatever, but had they taken it out, you would have gotten Man of Steel, which was the name of the sequel to that movie.
Well, I think you still need a plot. You take out all the kid stuff and all the romantic stuff, then it's, hey, Lex Luthor's figured out a way to grow his own kryptonite. Mm-hmm. He does that. Superman stops him. Ba-dum-boom.
Well,
it's a 15-minute short.
I'm reading the trivia, and I...
DC Nation.
I remember hearing that Zod was supposed to be in it.
He has so many other villains!
Listen to me. He wanted Jude Law. He couldn't get Jude Law, so he says no.
He is physically imposing.
No, he's not. I remember reading that Orlando Bloom was talked as being Brainiac at one point in time. That would have been interesting.
I would go with the guy who played Niles from Frasier.
Maybe a young version of him.
What's his name?
David Hyde Pierce.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I love David Hyde Pierce has a good voice, though.
He'd make a great Brainiac.
I think you could... I mean, you'd make Brainiac CGI and just... Or, you know, use his voice. Or just use... Like, you could voice over with...
Okay, what's his name? CGI him and then David Hyde Pierce.
Like Abe Sapien. That's
right. Oh, yeah, what's that? Oh, damn it. Okay. The guy who was in Silver Surfer. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. He's in this season of Fallen Skies.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, we've wrapped it up.
Yep. Full circle to Falling Skies.
That's right. We'll come back for a wrap up. And I want to see if you guys want to watch something between breaks.
Okay. Who can turn a heart with a smile? Who can take a blank page and make it all seem worthwhile? Simmons can. Scott D. and Simmons can. So that you'll always know it. Give his website a little click and his smile will show it. Not Simmons.com. Scott D. and Simmons.com. Scott D. M. Simmons.com. And here we are back to So Long, Farewell, Albeiter Zane, Goodnight.
We're going to put an episode 51 to sleep.
Put this one to bed. Can't wait to start talking about 52.
Woo! 2 weeks.
2 weeks. And then we'll reboot it and call it the new 52.
Yeah.
The next 52.
I still hate them.
We're going to pretend that part of our podcast
never happened.
And the other part did.
Don't we treat it like and that kind of anyways?
I think you're coming back black, aren't you?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think I'm coming back Blasian, actually. Half black, half Asian.
Like Amanda Waller.
Yes!
Yeah! So that means I'm going to come back skinny.
Maybe. And you're going to have...
I'll come back a man.
You'll come back a man. You're going to have you're gonna have a long ponytail, too, right?
Like Steven Seagal.
Not that badass.
No.
Come on. Who can be that badass, Bruce?
Not even
and Seagal. Justin is going to be 5'2".
This is exciting.
For equality purposes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Racially diverse.
And a woman.
One of us will be replaced by Cyborg.
Yeah.
Who's the worst character ever.
I don't know.
I hate that character.
Take it back.
I'm part robot. My dad was smart. Super.
I want to kill you right now.
So, he's handicapped. He's not a hero. He's handicapped.
I'm not sure about when I'm going to see Man of Steel. It might not be this summer.
I can't see it the first week it's out because it comes out on my son's birthday. Mm-hmm. And I thought I could find somebody to watch him. I'm like, but it's his birthday.
It comes out the Friday. I'll be out.
It's the 14th. Calendar's right.
Yeah, I'll be in Orlando. So unless I probably will try to catch it like the week after it comes out. In all honesty,
yeah, I'm thinking me and Ralphie will be able to see it the 22nd or the 23rd.
Right,
maybe Blu-ray, DVD, December, November.
You're gonna wait that long,
and I'll wait that long. It's about, you know, I saw Star Trek. I think that might be my summer movie.
I haven't been to a movie since Oz.
Yeah, so I think we all understand. I think we all understand where we're coming from.
Right,
we're all families.
We have moments.
Right, so if I had to choose, I'm very happy with the movie I saw, and I'd love to see Man of Steel, but if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
I saw Star Trek with my brother-in-law and one of his cousins and my cousins now, I guess. And Ralphie was fine with that. Ralphie set up seeing Iron Man 3. Mm-hmm. Like she was all about that because of the one trailer where Stark gives Pepper a suit.
The rescue suit?
Kind of.
Because that was...
That's
Fractions, right? Yeah.
But, I mean, Ralphie was sold on that movie based on that one trailer. And she was like, that's romantic.
Because I always thought that was kind of a cool thing that Matt Fraction, like, as much as I don't read that much Marvel, but the Stark disassembled thing that they did with Matt Fraction, I thought was kind of neat where... Pepper gets, I don't know if you know about this, but basically Pepper gets caught in a, and we're completely off track here, but welcome to the break.
Yeah.
She's the one who now gets caught in the blast and has shrapnel. So Tony gives her the,
the arc reactor.
The arc reactor. And she's like, and he's like, I have a suit for you. She's like, I don't want weapons. She's like, I'm not a weapon. He's like, it's not a weapon. And it's got a Jarvis thing on board, and it's purposely designed for just rescue missions. And I think they call it rescue. Isn't that what the name of it?
That's her superhero name for when she has a suit on.
And it's pretty cool. It was kind of a neat little thing. Like it's one of those things like that in the Brubaker's Captain America.
I think that I'm gonna rant about comics in general again.
That's kind of what we do.
Yeah, I think Marvel has some brilliant ideas here and there, but they always get undone in the end.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a giant red shiny reset button at the end of every story.
This kind of does play into what we're talking about as movies keep getting rebooted right now. Because there's a possibility of a Batman reboot already. Because people... Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen.
You didn't bring up the Spider-Man reboot sequel. I thought for sure you'd sneak that in there somewhere. I thought you'd be like, hey, you guys see those pictures? I like Spider-Man!
We talked about that last podcast. Mm-hmm.
It's still a horrible impersonation, man.
It is a bad impersonation. Yeah. It was interesting. One of the things did I bring this up about how, like, one of the things with Marvel about
let's,
how...
Let's wrap this up, and then...
Yeah,
okay. We can talk all night, buddy.
We can talk all night. All night long. So,
BrusoHughes.com. I'm on Facebook. Just Google Bruce Hughes. I'm not the mathematician. I'm not the bass player.
He's the sexy man with the bald head.
What?
And, Michael T. Adams, the second on Facebook. Michael Adams 013 on Twitter. And then the break-ins on Twitter and Facebook.
It's the _ break-ins?
Yes.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
On Twitter. Tim Risen and the Chronologist on Facebook. And then?
Justin Watson Zartan
Zardos.
Zardos.
Most of this is at brucehickeys.com. I put links to it.
Yeah.
If you're listening on iTunes, leave us a review.
Yeah, we got one out of something.
We have just one out of one.
Jesus left us a review.
It was Rayman.
That guy came back just to give us a review. High five to Jesus.
Hey, if you enjoyed this episode or any other episode, please share with your friends on Facebook.
Yep.
A reminder to control the population.
Derby City.
Derby City Comic Con.
Yeah,
see you soon. I'm never tempted.